In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
As you know, we are coming to the end of this Coptic year. God willing, in 8 days, we will start the next Coptic year. We'll celebrate Coptic New Year. And as a side point, the Coptic months are pretty neat compared to the regular months we have, because each of the 12 Coptic months has 30 days. So 12 times 30 is 360. So 12 months, 30 days each, and then we have a little month at the end called the little month, which has either 5 or 6 days, depending on if the year to come is leap or not. So we are in the last Sunday of the 12th month, so we're nearing the end of the Coptic year, and it is fitting that the church reminds us in its readings that everything here on earth is going to come to an end, just like this year is coming to an end. Everything on earth is coming to an end, both in a general sense and in a personal or specific sense. My life here on earth will come to an end, and in general, life on earth has an end. And while many may try to predict when the end of the world may come, we are taught by the Lord and by His church that this is not the focus. We shouldn't try to predict something that the Lord told us is not in our authority to know. So instead of trying to predict when the world will end, we ought to focus our eyes and always be ready for, like I said, either my own life to end or life in general here on earth to end. And to be ready and to be prepared gives me a sense of peace. If I have an exam coming up, and if I have not studied, not done my homework or the assignments throughout the term, then naturally I'm going to be stressed. I am not prepared. If I have done the assignments and I have studied along and prepared, then I am at peace. Of course, there may be a sense of anxiety, which is natural, but I am at peace because I'm assured that I have prepared the best that I can. Similarly, if I'm competing in athletics, if I have stretched and I have done the warm-ups and the training, that I'm ready for the athletic event. But if I've neglected to prepare, then I am not ready to compete in athletics. Anything we do in life needs preparation. Anything we do that's worth anything needs preparation. How much more so the kingdom of heaven? So the Lord wants us all to be prepared. And as you heard, he repeats, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And watch here means be vigilant, be always ready, be prepared so that you can be at peace, be watchful. We want to concentrate on a few words that the Lord gave throughout this reading, and then we will take a quick graphical, practical summary of how to be prepared. The Lord says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is a promise from God. So it has a part that I need to do, which is to endure. And endurance, like I said, even in athletics or in studies or at work, is important. How much more so endurance to inherit eternal life in God's kingdom. He who endures to the end shall be saved. He will do the saving. We need to labor and to endure. And the Lord says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So I don't need to put my trust in something that is going to pass away. If something's going to be temporary or temporal or not perfect, then that's not the thing for me to put my trust and hope in. Instead, he says, my words will by no means pass away. So my trust and my hope and all my life is attending to his words and his promises that will by no means pass away. Take heed, watch, and pray. Have endurance. Like we said, any athlete or any person in any stage of their life, in order to succeed, needs endurance. Endurance means to be steadfast, keep focused. He who endures to the end will be saved. A promise from God, and God's promises are always fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, another promise from God. Don't trust in the world, it will pass away. Some people think this world will continue forever, but the Lord said that this world, this earth, the sky we see, will all have an end, and there's a better life, a better heaven coming for each of us, God willing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's words are eternal. God's promises always come true. Man's promises don't always come true, but God is true. God is honest and truthful, and he's willing and able and powerful. So God's promises always come true. His words and his promises are full of comfort. He promises that he'll never leave us alone. And did he leave us alone? This is a trick question. He went up to heaven. Did he leave us alone? He said, I will not leave you orphans. But where is the Lord? But he sent us the Holy Spirit. He sent us his Spirit to dwell within us. He never breaks his promise. The Lord never breaks his promise. He fulfills all his promises. He promised that he is going to go prepare a place for each one of us and come back and take us so that where he is, we will be also. And he's not breaking that promise. He promised that his yoke is sweet, his burden is light, and all who come to him see that his promise is true. Now, the world tries to give hope, but it's not like hope in God. It can be false hope. It could be hope that disappoints, but hoping in God never disappoints. The world tries to give joy, but it might not be the right kind of joy unless it's in the Lord. The world may try to tempt me with temporary happiness. Happiness if this stuff happens, if I get stuff, or if I get positions or possessions or money, or temporary pleasures in the world. That's what the world calls happiness. It cannot call it joy, for it is not everlasting. But when God gives the joy, no one can snatch God's joy away from us. The world tries to trick us with a false concept of peace, but only the King of Peace can give his true peace. His peace includes peace with God, includes peace with one another, and includes peace with myself. Only God's peace is perfect and complete. And as we come to the end of the world, we need to self-evaluate and see, are we living a life full of hope in God or hope in something else, be it riches, ourselves, our education, our temporary future? As we heard in the Catholic Epistle, our life here is going to vanish like the the vapor, like vapor vanishes. So this coming year, God willing, we'll have a new start, and I need to evaluate, what have I been putting my trust in? What has been giving me joy? Am I only happy when I receive stuff, or am I happy because I have a Heavenly Father who loves me, and his Son who loves me to the point of death, and his Spirit who loves me to the point of wanting to be attached to me every minute of my struggle here to comfort me? God's joy is real, lasting, everlasting. We want to just take a quick look to see if we can take a practical view on how to benefit from the words of our Lord and being prepared. Give it just 2 seconds to load up on the screen. There is a famous nun, Sister Sarah from Upper Egypt, who, in order to keep herself always focused on her heavenly goal, used to always say that, I never put my foot on a ladder or on a step without thinking that I might die before I take the next step. What is this? Is she trying to live a morbid life? Why is she doing this? She's just reminding herself that whether we live a short or long life here, what matters more is the life in the age to come. So how shall I be ready for the age to come? The Lord says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will come from the wedding, that when he knocks, they may open to him immediately. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is a coming at an hour you do not expect. And here, of course, the wedding is Christ as our groom, coming to take us, the church, as his bride. Let your waist be girded means put a girdle or a belt, be ready, ready to run to him, to run into his arms, and the lamp to lighten the path so that we can reach him in safety. So we're going to take 5 quick points about how to be ready, okay? The first point is faith. By holding fast to our faith, then I can be ready. And St. Paul tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen or not yet seen. So substance here means assurance. I'm sure it's been substantiated. I realize and I have a strong belief and conviction in the Lord. That's my faith. And the Lord says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Lord Jesus himself said, when the Son of Man comes in his second coming, will he find faith on the earth? And we get faith by clinging to the Holy Spirit, and those who love God, obey him, live his commandments, and continually repent and confess will receive faith. And you all know that we profess our faith after, as we begin the next part of the service, we will all recite the creed, we believe in one God. And the creed ends with, we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen. We're not just trusting in God because he's going to keep us successful and healthy and wealthy here. He may not, but what's more important is the age to come. The second point, in addition to faith, is the church's teachings, what we call doctrine, which are, of course, based on the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And we are very blessed to be in this church where there's been no deviation for close to 2,000 years, maybe 1,975 years. Regardless of how the world around us has been changing, we are in what we can call a divine workshop where the truth of the Lord is kept preserved by the apostles who received it from the Lord himself. And we again are blessed to have St. Mark as our first pope, who handed the faith next to the next pope, to the next pope. We have St. Athanasius as our 20th pope, who hands it to the next pope until it reaches our beloved Pope Tewodros II. The doctrine and teachings of the church is another important aspect of being ready. Faith, the church doctrine or the teachings, and third is spiritually. We all strive to grow stronger and healthier and more intelligent. We all strive to grow physically and socially and mentally, but more importantly, spiritual growth is something we cannot ignore. We have to keep growing and growing and growing, and we never stop growing because our aim is to be like Christ. So we keep coming as close and as close and as close as possible to our Lord and Savior, as newborn babes desiring the pure milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And of course, we grow through constant communication and relationship with the one who first loved us. We grow through prayer, through the Bible, spiritual readings, and as you have all come today to partake of his holy body and blood through the church sacraments. Faith, doctrine, and spiritual growth. Next is service, because as St. James reminds us, works must accompany faith. Faith without works is dead. I can't say I have faith and I don't help those around me who are in need, imitating and walking with the Lord to love and to serve and to give and to forgive. And as he says, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. We are not just serving those in need, we are serving the Lord himself. Faith, doctrine, spiritual growth, service, and last but not least, our focus is on our eternal life. Christ in his first coming came to save us for salvation. Christ is coming again to judge everyone in the world. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to come in judgment, not to condemn us, but to grant us everlasting life with him. And this needs daily self-reflection and self-examination to see if I'm on the right path, ready, prepared for heaven. And a quick checklist, and this, by the way, is from the Mahargan of this year. The Mahargan Ilkaraza, or the St. Mark's Festival, is focused this year on being prepared. And I stole these slides from my wife's Sunday school lesson. So the checklist here is, am I still too attached to the world? Am I attached to money or power or wealth or even health? Am I too attached to the world or not? Am I able to let go of what's drawing me down to the ground so that I can be elevated up and meet my Lord? How is the state of my soul? Is it pure and clean, or is there some impurity that has crept in through my senses or my thoughts that I need to cleanse through the tears of repentance and confession? Am I living a heavenly life now, constant praise and worship of the Lord? Or else how would I be able to praise and worship when I go to meet the Lord? So those 5 points again are holding fast to our faith, learning from the church teachings, spiritual growth, focus on connection and communication with the Lord and through his sacraments, service to one another, serving the Lord, and being ready, God willing, for eternal life. Glory be to God forever. Amen.